we're getting an indication about possible timing for an impeachment trial in the Senate. Plus, private companies looking to go public aren't just depending on IPOs. There's another tool that's gaining traction.
It allows you to skip the rigmarole of going on a roadshow and filing with the SEC.
We'll look at the new popularity of SPACs, and if you're not sure what that means, we'll explain. And the search for opportunity during the trying times of the pandemic. The founder of Shake Shack will share his perspective. It's Friday, January 22nd. I'm Mark Stewart with the Wall Street Journal, and this is What's News. Senate Minority Leader Mitch McConnell has proposed starting former President Donald Trump's impeachment trial in mid-February, so Trump's legal team and Democratic impeachment managers have time to prepare. A spokesman for Senate Majority Leader Chuck Schumer said he would review the proposal. House Speaker Nancy Pelosi hasn't yet sent over the article of impeachment passed by the House. As we talked about last night on the show, the number of COVID-19 deaths in the United States is projected to top 500,000 Americans next month. As the Biden administration unveils plans to tackle the pandemic, the nation's leading infectious disease expert, Dr. Anthony Fauci, returned to the podium at the White House press briefing.
One of the things that was very clear as recently as about 15 minutes ago when I was with the president is that one of the things that we're going to do is to be completely transparent, open, and honest. If things go wrong, not point fingers, but to correct them and to make everything we do be based on science and evidence.
Google is threatening to shut down its search engine in Australia over a proposed law that would require tech giants to pay publishers for news. Australia's prime minister fired back, saying the country makes its own rules and doesn't respond to threats. The WSJ's Mike Cherney has more.
It's a pretty extreme threat that Google made, and the reason that they made this is because they're locked in a dispute with the Australian government over paying for news articles, essentially, paying Australian media companies like newspapers for their content. This dispute also involves Facebook, because Facebook also links to news articles on, you know, Facebook social media platforms. So this dispute has been going on for a while, and what Australia is trying to do is a world first. It's being basically watched globally because no jurisdiction has gone maybe quite this far as to try and compel these big tech companies to pay local publishers.
Media companies in Australia, including local subsidiaries of News Corp, owner of the Wall Street Journal, have supported that provision. Publishers argue that the law could help prevent the tech giants from walking away from negotiations. The grocery store delivery service Instacart is now looking at job cuts after gaining popularity during the pandemic. The Journal's Micah Maidenberg explains what's behind the move.
So Instacart is letting go of almost 1,900 jobs because one of the company's attorneys said in a letter to a Chicago area labor union that had organized some Instacart shoppers last year that some of its grocery chain customers are sort of moving to this model where they use their own workers to fulfill orders, but Instacart's technology. And at the same time, it's focusing more on workers who both fulfill, you know, customer orders and get them delivered, as opposed to shoppers who just, you know, sort of get the groceries from the store and then have somebody else deliver it.
Looking at today's calendar, we'll get a look at existing home sales for December. As we've reported, sales are expected to fall for the second consecutive month as rising prices and limited inventories constrain the market. The Nasdaq rallied to a record close on Thursday, fueled by tech stocks. Auto stocks are also getting attention from traders. Joining me now to talk about the sector is markets columnist Rochelle Teplinski. Rochelle, good to have you here.
Thanks for having me.
Rochelle, first let's establish which companies are in the lead and why.
After 4 years of underperforming the S&P 500 index, Ford and GM this month are the top performers. And that really is likely due to the markets starting to really buy into their electric vehicle plans.
Traders seem to be excited about the EV market, but now there are some concrete plans. Does this take things to a different level?
Yeah, it certainly does. I mean, Tesla's stock has really been able to show that investors' enthusiasm about electric vehicles, and they finally seem to be convinced by the legacy carmakers' moves in that direction, too. President Biden's plans for electric vehicles have also added some optimism to this. GM has a number of plans, including recently a new one to sell electric vans from its new BrightDrop division. And while many in the market think Ford is a bit behind, investors seem excited with their prospects too. The company started selling its first EV, a version of the Mustang Mach-E sport utility vehicle, and they also have plans for a plug-in version of its iconic F-150 pickup.
Rochelle Teplinski, thanks so much.
Thanks, Mark.
Just ahead, not all companies are depending on IPOs to go public. We'll talk about SPACs and the question of regulation after the break.
This message comes from Viking, committed to exploring the world in comfort. Journey through the heart of Europe on an elegant Viking longship with thoughtful service, destination-focused dining, and cultural enrichment on board and on shore. And every Viking voyage is all-inclusive with no children and no casinos. Discover more at Viking.com.
Companies that want to go public normally use a traditional IPO process, but increasingly they're turning to something known as SPACs, or Special Purpose Acquisition Vehicles. They're basically blank checks trading on the stock exchange looking for a private company to take public. SPACs are still a small part of the market, but they're soaring in popularity. Just 3 weeks into the new year, they've raised almost $15 billion, more than any full year on record, according to the data provider Dealogic. Now, Wall Street is coming up with new ways for investors to get in on the trend, but some are sounding notes of caution. To talk more about it, let's bring in the Wall Street Journal's David Benoit into the conversation. David, good morning.
Morning. Thanks for having me.
So, David, just briefly, because SPACs still aren't very well known, can you explain how they're different from a traditional IPO?
Sure. So a private company wanting to turn public would use a SPAC as a kind of a quicker, faster way to go public. It allows you to skip the rigmarole of going on a roadshow and filing with the SEC. There are different levels of proof you have to show of kind of your future growth in different watching, right, from regulators, from investors. It's much quicker and easier to go public this way. So that's why they've kind of boomed in the last few months, really.
Besides individual companies, this is also helping the banks. You've done some reporting on this. How big of a boost are SPACs in particular to the banking sector?
Yeah. So in a year when a lot of the main banking business, such as lending and other places, were kind of dropping off profits, investment banking was huge for them. And what we saw in the fourth quarter that the banks have been reporting the last few days is SPACs were a big boom. Their businesses selling stocks and helping companies go public, just kind of astronomical numbers for a fourth quarter. And the banks really capitalized both in helping the SPAC go public and then in helping the SPAC merge with a private company. They kind of reap in the fees there. And then they talk about, hey, down the line, those companies are going to sell more shares and we'll have more business. So it's really been a pretty good uplift in a time when it's not really sure where the banks are going to make money. This has been a big deal.
And looking at this from the individual investor's perspective, how are investors participating in this corner of the market?
Sure. So what we're seeing right now is particularly a combination of the two most recent trends, right? We're seeing ETFs, exchange-traded funds, start forming around a SPAC. Because a SPAC could really be any kind of company, you know, it can buy a tech company, it can buy a biotech company, it can buy a bank, theoretically. People are trying to work them into a SPAC ETF, where if you bought a share of the ETF, you'd have a piece of all of those different kinds of SPACs. So we'll see probably more of those. We've seen a few launch and we'll probably see more of those coming.
And David, with all that said, are there any concerns about the use of SPACs and how do we expect regulators to approach them under the new administration?
So it is not as regulated as a regular IPO, right? If you go, if you're going public in the US, you got to go through several stages with the Securities and Exchange Commission. We saw, I think, a good example of what we would have seen is 2019. There was a big story about WeWork and its rapid growth in the private markets, and then it crumbled as it tried to go public because people saw it. And bankers said, hey, look, that's an example of the private markets being different than the public markets. But with a SPAC, if a SPAC had been able to take WeWork public, we wouldn't have seen that. We would have just seen it launch public. So that's why people have gotten a little bit concerned and why there's kind of question over how do we regulate this? I don't exactly think it's probably at the top of the list of the SEC's list of things to do in the new administration. But that said, Gary Gensler, who is going to take over the SEC pending approval, is pretty well known for watching things in the banking sector and being pretty strict to regulation. So who knows? Who knows what happens?
The Journal's David Benoit. David, thanks again.
Thanks, Mark. Thanks for having me.
And finally, what does effective leadership look like during a global crisis? At the Wall Street Journal's Future of Leadership event last night, we asked four leaders about what it takes to guide their businesses and their teams through periods of economic and social uncertainty. The restaurateur Danny Meyer was one of our guests. He's the CEO of Union Square Hospitality Group and the founder of Shake Shack. While dining options have been among the hardest hit in the pandemic, he said he sees this moment as an opportunity.
This is a once-in-a-lifetime opportunity that we will never again have to take our ship out of the water and look at the underbelly of it, the underside of it, and look at all those holes we didn't even know about, and look at all the barnacles that are eating their way through that we didn't even know existed, and clean all that stuff out. And that is something I'm really excited about. It's hard work, but we never would have done that work because we didn't see it or we didn't have the courage to deal with it.
We've got more events in our Future of series in the pipeline. Next up is our Future of Everything Festival in March. You can find more information and register at futureof.wsj.com. And that's what's news for Friday. Of course, we're back tonight with a new show. Until then, we'll keep you updated on the day's top stories on WSJ.com and the Journal app. I'm Mark Stewart with The Wall Street Journal. Enjoy the weekend, and thanks for listening.